André Dalbavy and Elliot Carter, his flute concerto. That's our Sunday concert at 2. And in just a moment, we're going to cross live to Charlton Park in Malmesbury for more coverage of the WOMAD Festival. But with the time now at 1 o'clock, a summary of the BBC News read by David Cornett.
At least 45 anti-government demonstrators in the Syrian city of Hama are reported to have been killed by security forces after troops and tanks began an assault on the town at dawn. Human rights activists say they fear the number could rise to over 100. An American embassy official in the capital, Damascus, has described it as full-on warfare by the Syrian government against its own people. Government forces had surrounded Hama for a month before moving in. Similar assaults are reported in other Syrian towns. It's thought the regime of President Assad may be making a coordinated attempt to repress protest before the month of Ramadan starts tomorrow. At least 12 policemen and a 10-year-old child have been killed in a suicide attack on a police patrol in the southern Afghan province of Helmand. It happened in the city of Lashkar Gah, where British troops handed over security to local forces earlier this month. A Nottinghamshire police officer has been charged with sexual offences against a child. Inspector Russell Dew, who's 44, will appear before Sheffield Magistrates Court tomorrow. Labour has accused the government of moving some health spending in England from poorer to richer areas as a result of changes to funding formulae. It says less well-off places such as Tower Hamlets in East London will lose out, while wealthier regions such as Hampshire will benefit. The government has dismissed the claims. A 59-year-old man whose light aircraft crashed into a house in Salford on Friday has died. A 19-year-old man who was also in the plane remains in a critical condition. At least 7 people have drowned when a pleasure boat sank on a river in Moscow. The boat was carrying 16 people, most of them American and Turkish. It collided with a barge. And the weather, it'll be dry and warm with some sun across central and eastern areas. Elsewhere, it'll be cloudier with some rain and hill fog deepening across northwest England and Scotland later. Temperatures will be around 20 in the south, 17 in northern England and 13 in northern Scotland. BBC News and Weather at 1:02.
David, many thanks. This is BBC Radio 3, and next this afternoon we're crossing live to Charlton Park in Wiltshire to rejoin the Radio 3 team at this year's WOMAD Festival of World Music. Here's Lucy Duran.
Well, it's a real privilege to be here at WOMAD on the Radio 3 stage in this lovely warm weather. But it's even more of a privilege to be able to present a project that's been in the making for most of this year. Some of you may know of the World Roots Academy that mentors a young and gifted UK musician who has roots in another culture. The protege this year was born in South London, but his parents are Sri Lankan, and he plays the veena, an ancient South Indian lute. It's the instrument of the Hindu deity Sarasvati, who is the deity of wisdom and culture, and that's very appropriate for WOMAD, isn't it? Well, later on, we're going to be hearing a unique collaboration between the 2,000-year-old veena and the thoroughly modern electric violin in the hands of the brilliant virtuoso Cuban musician Omar Puente. So, South India meets Cuban music right here at Charlton Park. But first of all, we start in South India with the fabulous Carnatic classical musical tradition. So please welcome here on the Radio 3 stage, Hari Sivanesan.
Thank you. Hari Sivanesan on Veena with Prashana Devaraja on Mridangam live on the Radio 3 stage here at WOMAD in Charlton Park on this fine Sunday afternoon. That was music from the South Indian Carnatic tradition. Hari is this year's World Roots Academy mentee, and later on in the programme we'll be going back to the Radio 3 stage live when Hari will be joined by the virtuoso Cuban electric violinist Omar Puente for a unique encounter between the music of Cuba and South India. We'll also have a live session in our truck studio with the young Norwegian hardanger fiddle player Sinova Birset. Now we cross to Central America and the Garifuna people, who are descended from indigenous Caribs and runaway West African slaves. One of the most important spokesmen of the Garifuna is singer-songwriter and former politician Aurelio Martinez from Honduras. We're going to hear highlights of a set he did yesterday here at WOMAD from the Siam tent. This is Aurelio with two songs, Tio Sam, and first, the title track of his latest album, the anthemic Laru Bea.
Welcome to Central America. Welcome to Garifuna community. Welcome to Garifuna music. Thank you very much, WOMAD. Thank you very much, everybody, everyone. Thank you.
La rubu babeya
Dababu. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Holy Buddha, Laude, Mede Bayo Saudi, Saudi mala di Saudi, Saudi mala di Saudi. Saudi maladi Saudi,
Aurelio Martinez from Honduras, leading musician of the Garifuna people, with two songs from his set at WOMAD yesterday at the Siam tent to a packed and enthusiastic crowd. You're listening to BBC Radio 3 with me, Lucy Duran, live from this year's WOMAD Festival at Charlton Park. Coming up later on, that promised duet between Harry Sivanesan, the brilliant young veena player who's been the World Roots Academy mentee this year, and Omar Puente from Cuba, a virtuoso player of the electric violin. But now I'm joined in the truck studio by a young musician from Norway who plays another kind of violin. It's called the Hardanger fiddle, and her name is Sinova Birset.
Thank you.
Well, that totally entrancing sound is the Hardanga fiddle, and it's played by Sinova Birset, who's right here with us live in the Truk studio at WOMAD. Sinova, welcome, and you must tell me about this fabulous instrument. Wow.
Yeah, it's quite fabulous. I think so too. It's actually the national instrument of Norway. And, well, it's a violin, as you can see, but maybe not the listeners. But it differs from a violin in a way that it has the normal four upper strings, but we also have five sympathetic strings below.
And that's what gives it that kind of really rich sound.
Yeah, it is. So they just, you know, make sound and play along as you play on the upper strings.
What's interesting is, you know, we heard earlier on the vina, which is a plucked lute, but it also has sympathetic strings. Mm-hmm. And it also has this sort of an image of an animal at the scrolled end of mm-hmm. where the tuning pegs are.
Yeah.
So there are some connections. And mother of pearl inlay all along the fretboard.
Yeah, it's
very beautiful instrument.
Rich, decorated with ornaments, and yeah, it's a lovely instrument.
It looks quite oriental in some ways. What's the story of the Hardanga fiddle?
Well, there's been some discussion about it, but anyway, it's called the Hardanga fiddle because the oldest fiddle we have today is from 1651, and it was made in Hardanger, which is a region in Norway. So the modern Hardanger fiddles are called, yeah, Hardanger fiddles because of that. And I think it's quite, well, we can see a connection to early Baroque instruments in Europe. And, well, I don't think it was made in isolation in Norway.
No, I'm no. sure. And I mean, you're a very young musician. What attracted you to the folk tradition and the Hardanger fiddle?
Well, in fact, it was by coincidence. I had a friend at school whose father was playing the fiddle, and she talked me into joining a beginner's course. And then I quite soon realised that this was really cool music.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
Wow, stunning music.
Yeah.
And so is it a living tradition? I mean,
yes.
You know, your evidence of that, I guess. But I mean, how popular is it amongst people of your generation, Sinova?
I think it's amongst those who play the music and amongst those who really like it. It's very popular. But to most people in Norway, I don't think all of them know what a Hardanger fiddle really sounds like. So that's a pity in a way. But
it certainly is a pity. I don't know how I've existed all these years without listening daily to a Hardanger fiddle. So, before you were playing, you were tuning it quite a lot, and obviously tuning is an important part of any instrument, but you commented that these strings are especially difficult to tune.
Yeah, because most people use gut strings made from pig guts.
Guts.
So they're quite sensitive to changes in temperature and so on. So, you know, there are some jokes, of course.
I'm sure.
Yeah, spending more time tuning than playing, but, you know.
Not to mention the poor pig.
Yeah.
Tell us about the tradition itself. What kinds of pieces do you play? Are they dance pieces?
Yeah, most solo pieces for the Hardanger fiddle are dance pieces. But, you know, today they are we play them at concerts and people are not dancing, they're just sitting down listening. But still, there's also a tradition for airs, or we call them maybe listening tunes, which are not meant for dancing at all.
So and the one you just played, because I'm sitting right next to you, I could see you tapping your foot in kind of a 1-2-3, 1-2-3
yeah,
rhythm.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that a dance tune?
It's a typical dance tune for a local dance where I come from called springar, which means to run. And, you know, well, in some areas, the rhythm would be a bit different, maybe a bit asymmetrical. And yeah, it differs from every region how the springer rhythm is performed. So it's kind of, like a dialect in the language. They all sound different.
And you've also really researched this music, haven't you? I understand that you've gone back to the elders who play it.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of the concept of playing the Hardanger fiddles. It's not just about learning how to play the instrument. It's also about, you know, going backwards, looking into this history and finding old transcriptions and old archive recordings, and also visiting a lot of fillers, you know, trying to get some tips and hints and teach or learn from their tunes and their styles.
I mean, is it still an oral tradition, or is it mainly now written?
It's an oral tradition. You know, I don't think it would be possible to, you know, learn this music from a sheet of paper. No.
Will you play us another piece of music?
What will
it be?
I think I'm going to do one of the tunes that I picked up from an old transcription from an archive.
Excellent. Sinova Birset with Hardanger fiddle right here in the studio. Sinova Birset from Norway with the quite magical Hardanger fiddle live here in the Truck Studio behind the Radio 3 stage at WOMAD. And you can catch her band Maya Stuen on the Radio 3 stage this afternoon at 4 p.m. And there will also be highlights from that set from 11:30 onwards tonight with Andrew McGregor on Radio 3. Well, right now, live on the Radio 3 stage, the Veena player Harry Sivanesan with his percussionist, the mridangam player Prashana Devaraja, has been joined by the Cuban electric violinist Omar Puente and his percussionist Oscar Martinez. So we're going to go over live to the stage in a minute, but first, here are these two musicians, Omar and Harry, talking about how they found the whole collaborative process.
It's been an absolute experiment. Firstly, Omar, he's such a virtuoso. You just don't know what you're gonna hear in the rehearsal and what you're gonna hear on stage, and that's brilliant. It's brilliant. But that's similar to South Indian music in that sense, because you know there's so much improvisation. But he's just got so much running through him. I tell you, it's just been so fun in rehearsals, just watching him play away, pluck away.
Omar, what's it been like for you?
Well,
a headache.
That is another story. Listen, I had the opportunity to collaborate with, you know, great musicians all over the world. However, this is my first time I've been doing like one-to-one collaboration.
Really?
It's the first time. And if we start at the beginning, when somebody mentioned me the name of Vina.
You hadn't heard of it?
I thought we were talking
not
about...
Not a clue.
Rivina.
Rivina.
Exactly. So I have great. No idea. However, you know, we met, you know, I met Harry, I had the music, and tried to be inside the music, which is really, really, really hard to play. Or this raga, or this scale. My goodness, I've been no sleep.
And different scales from Cuban scales.
Definitely. It's been an amazing experience for me. So that's going to be, in this year, one of my top high points.
Oh, that's exciting. I'm
happy definitely, to hear definitely. I've been really, really enjoying
it. But Omar, do you feel there is any common ground then between South Indian classical music and the great Cuban dance tradition that you
play? I tell you, I think music do have no barrier. For instance, one of the tune that we tried to approach with the Indian style was trying to introduce the syncopation on the bass line on the Vina. Mm-hmm. I don't think that being done. I don't see if
that's
anybody
a brilliant
before.
Idea. Yeah.
So let's try to do some syncopation on the Vina. So the sound, the beautiful sound of the Vina with the bass syncopation. And we have the Oscar doing the presenter playing the, sorry, and
the Mridangam.
Ah, that one, sorry. Mridangam.
Yeah. Oh, that's very good, Omar. Excellent.
Playing the Indian, you know what? This is great. Harry, he brought a tune which is like really, really lonely, like karakam dam bram 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 bram, and then trang bram bram bram. I say, you know what? Let's call it KK.
Oh, I hope you're going to be playing KK.
Yeah, we're playing KK.
That's great. Yes, Tamil is a really difficult language. So, Harry, what about for you? Do you feel that there's any common ground between Cuban music and South Indian music?
Oh yeah, there is common ground. I mean, as soon as Omar's playing something, I'm automatically converting into whichever rag it is in my head in order for me to understand it quicker. Do you know what I mean? So Omar's like, in G. I'm like, no, not in G. Just play it. I'm
just like, exactly.
Just play it and I'll figure it out. And I think that's been, for me, it's been the biggest bridge that we've had to cross.
But the bottom line is that both Cuban music and South Indian music are very, very sophisticated traditions Indeed. With a lot of virtuosity, a lot Absolutely. Of improvisation Absolutely. And very complex rhythms, both of yeah. you. So I'm sure you're able to meet in the middle somewhere.
Yeah, definitely.
Look forward to it.
I see.
Thank you. You know, it's a great day today, and it's a fantastic crowd. You guys have been absolutely wonderful. So, thank you for giving the opportunity for us to play for you. So, how you doing there? Right? Yeah. So far, right? Pull up, pull down. Oh, nice one. Well, listen, how Harry's been saying before. For me as a musician, be an amazing journey. Try to be inside of this wonderful music. Really hard to play.
I don't know what this guy is doing. Man, it's ridiculous. And he just say, it's easy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. See, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 7. How? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What the heck is that? You know what I'm saying? But, you know, we keep in there, and you know, no sleep. No sleep. Well, I feel we're going somewhere. I said, you know what? Let's play some bass line on the Venus, on some, you know, syncopation. I said, we're getting somewhere. I think now we're going to play a tune written for this violin player from Cuba called Omar Puente, who is called Viovina. So basically, it's a half violin and half vina. I think it's a good name. What do you think? Yeah, first time I heard, you know how much when I play with this great player called Harry, I'm going to play Viovina. Vina. I say, Rivina? No, the Vina, the Vina. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to play Viovina for you. I hope you like it. You see this? Yeah. Ask Oscar. He'll be mad over there. Like, last time he talked to me, said to me, oh my God. Come on, everybody stand up. Everybody up. Everybody up. Yeah, now we're talking. Everybody. And say, cha, 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 cha. That's absolutely a 1, 2, 1, 2. Yes, yes. Thank you. So that's it. That's it. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Do one more.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
You best want one more because we practiced. So the next piece is another Tilana. So it's another dance of joy. Well, it's inspired. It starts there and then it starts improvising. But the ragam of this Tilana is Raga Kadanukudukula. So as you know, for Omar, we called it KK. So here is KK.
Yes.
Harry Sivanesan on Veena and vocals and Omar Puente on electric violin in this unique collaboration between South India and Cuba, live on the Radio 3 stage here at WOMAD. And as you can hear, there's been lots of lively exchange with a huge crowd that's gathered here at the Arboretum. They're up on their feet and they're dancing. They're obviously really loving these specially composed pieces and also just the extraordinary virtuosity of these four musicians, Omar and Oscar on the Cuban side, and Harry and Pras on the other side, on the South Indian and Sri Lankan side. Well, that shows that the music is unstoppable, but it's time for us to leave you for now. And Andrew McGregor will be back live at 11:30 tonight from WOMAD, but for now, from sunny Charlton Park, it's back to Ian Skelly at Broadcasting House.
Lucy, thank you very much indeed. Lucy Duran, live at WOMAD this afternoon. The producer of that programme was Peter Meanwell. And as Lucy was saying, you can hear more live coverage of the festival at 11:30 tonight. Andrew McGregor there, bringing you highlights from the day as well as live music from the festival site. And don't forget that you can check the world music pages of the Radio 3 website for details of all the broadcasts.
On Radio 3 from the BBC Proms, a 400th birthday salute to a talismanic Spanish composer. The music of that master of Renaissance polyphony, Tomás Luis de Victoria, in an evocative late-night performance live from London's Royal Albert Hall. It could be in no better hands than Peter Phillips and the Talis Scholars. An unmissable Thursday night at the BBC Proms from 10 o'clock.
And that's here on BBC Radio 3. It's 3 minutes past two now, and we're off to the Proms next this afternoon for our Sunday concert. Another chance to hear the BBC Prom given at the Royal Albert Hall and broadcast live on Thursday here on BBC Radio 3. Susie Klein was there on the night.
Good evening to you. So, the players of the BBC National Orchestra of Wales have had no rest at all since their appearance here last night. Then it was a programme of French favourites. Now they're back with principal conductor Thierry Fischer bringing us Beethoven. Two symphonies, each packed to the brim with swagger and self-confidence. The first symphony and the seventh. Sitting between those two, a pair of flute concertos written for tonight's soloist, one of the world's great players, the flautist Emmanuel Pau, is here with two contemporary pieces, concertos for the 21st century from Elliot Carter and Marc-André Dalbavy. We kick off tonight with Beethoven 1, written in the wake of both Haydn and Mozart's final symphonies. Beethoven began work on the piece, well, we're not quite sure when, sometime around 1795. His intention to announce to the Viennese public that his teacher Haydn, his hero Mozart, were both now gone. He was the new young gun in town. And so Beethoven put on one of the vast concerts that were to become his trademark, an evening in Vienna's Burgtheater, including the premieres of a new septet and the second piano concerto. The concert had the desired effect, the first symphony in particular, announcing that this was a new talent on the music scene. Tough, uncompromisingly individual, classical and elegant. So the leader of the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, Leslie Hatfield, along with all of the players of the orchestra, in position on stage, joined now by Thierry Fischer to open tonight's concert with Beethoven's First Symphony.
Thank you. Thank you.